Father, I ask that as we look at your word, that you'd be at work among us. I pray that you'd be speaking to us and to our hearts by your spirit. And so, Father, work among us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to start with something that that I came across recently, which is I've been very aware of Charles Spurgeon and him having this fantastic, well-known preaching ministry. And yet, from his autobiography, there's a whole other dimension to his ministry that I hadn't realized. And so this is written by someone who was that was in the kind of congregation there. And basically, he wrote this. Mr. Spurgeon looked at me as if he knew me, and in his sermon, he pointed to me and told the congregation that I was a shoemaker and that I kept my shop open on Sundays. And I did, sir. I should not have minded that, but he also said that I took a ninepence that Sunday before and that there were 4 pence profit out of it. I did take a ninepence that day, and 4 pence was just the profit. But how he should know that, I could not tell. Then it struck me that it was God who had spoken to my soul through him. So I shut up my shop next Sunday. By the way, I'm not saying that things should be sold on Sundays. But anyways, moving on. At first, now check this out. I like what he says here. At first, I was afraid to go again to hear him, lest he should tell the people more about me. But afterwards, I went, and the Lord met with me and saved my soul. I love that there was a dimension there to Spurgeon's ministry that sounds very much of kind of the sort of thing that we're talking about today, where I get to lean into this topic of revelatory gifts of the Spirit. And by revelatory gifts, I mean gifts like prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning of spirits. I'm mindful as well that interpretation of tongues is very similar to prophecy, but Katie will cover tongues next week, and Tim will look at healing the week after that. Now, here's the thing. I think we've all had experience with some of the revelatory gifts that can actually cause us to be turned off from them or to be discouraged from stepping into them. And I kind of believe that if you don't want a gift of the Holy Spirit won't give it. And so there's a real issue there. And so, you know, there's different things that can hold us back. We might not want to look odd or stand out. But again, we know of times where these things have been misused. And it would be really easy to collect stories from around the room. Stories that are funny when things have been misused, but stories that might be also very difficult. Like, funny, like, I had two friends that once went to hear Benny Hinn when he was, like, in his, like, revival mid-90s sort of, when they went to Hawaii and heard Benny Hinn speak. And afterwards, Benny Hinn, to both my friends, prophesied that they would each be married within the next year. Okay? They had no desire to get married within the next year, no prospects. No. Did they get married in the next year? No. Do you know what I mean? Now, something kind of sad about that, isn't there? But also, we could easily collect stories that would be really difficult. People that were told that they would have a child or be healed and it didn't happen. And what that could encourage us toward is to neglect these gifts. But we could also collect testimony of when revelatory gifts have been used correctly and were greatly encouraging. And I believe it's good and important for the health of the church that people are operating with all of the gifts. That doesn't mean that all of the gifts are for everyone, right? Like that you know, you'll have specific gifts, but that for the health of the church, people should be operating with all of the gifts. At the same time, we should guard against the misuse of such gifts. And our faith shouldn't be built on revelatory gifts. It should be built on God's word and the work of his Spirit. Now, so let me just define a little bit for a moment what I'm talking about here. Okay. Now, by the way, I realize in defining spiritual gifts that are described in Scripture, I'm not wanting to limit the work of the Spirit because the work of the Spirit is creative, right? But a word of knowledge is to know something that you wouldn't know by natural means. Or a word of wisdom, similarly, might be a divine answer to a solution for a situation. Now, with each of these, it's not general wisdom or human wisdom. This is spirit-enabled wisdom. Examples from Scripture might include Joseph interpreting a dream, and again, not with natural or human wisdom, but with godly wisdom, being able to interpret the dream. Or Jesus saying to the woman at the well, right, go call your husband, for you have had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband, right? Distinguishing between spirits is to be aware of a demonic spirit, or sometimes to have discernment on a spiritual level. And prophecy can refer, as many think, to saying something about the future, but it can also be about speaking a message from God that often brings a sense of challenge or God's perspective to a person's life or situation, all right? And so, to keep this simple, I just want to focus on some points that are critical as we think about these revelatory gifts. And my prayer is that through what I share today, that there may be some of you that step into these gifts in ways that you never have before. That would be fantastic, right? I want to do another reading. I didn't add this into all the readings because there was already three of them. But let me read 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 to 22. And I want you to notice something in these verses. I want you to notice that the first two verses, each of these verses are very short. The first two are sort of one side, one view, as it were, around things. And the other half of these verses are the other side, okay? So check this out. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. That's one side. But test them all, hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil. Now, by the way, if when I read part of that, you go, yes, you might need to hear the other side as well. Do you see what I mean? Let me read that again. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 to 22. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. But test them all, hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil. I think I'm sort of skeptical by nature, right? And as a new Christian, this came out in such a way that I wanted like scientific, airtight explanations for things. And then, and I won't take you into the whole story, God very much led me into this. God had me essentially get slain in the spirit at a revival meeting, which was fantastic for me. And I'd say, I won't go into that, the whole story of how that happened or what God was doing there, but even having that experience, I still didn't trust the extremely tanned man from Florida who prayed for me, who had come to operate in power and who had an ego that was far too big. You know what I mean? There's a place for stepping out, and there's a place for discernment. And so, again, key questions then. So how do we test? And also, how can we be more open to the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit? And as we often describe ourselves as a word and spirit church, that's very much described in these verses, being word and spirit. We need to hold on to both. Okay. Let me get your guys' brains working. You're a clever bunch, right? This is a bit of fun. You okay for that? You up for this? I want to give you some trick questions and just get you to respond really quick and see how you do. Okay? You up for this? Someone's like falling asleep and they're waking up right now because like, all right, check this out. You ready? Let's see how you do. A boy kicks a soccer ball 10 feet and then it comes to him on its own. How is this possible? He kicked it into the air. Okay, are you getting the idea? You ready? If two's company and three's a crowd, what do four and five make? Nine, there you go. Yes, come on. If you're running a race and you pass the person in second place, what place are you in? Second place, there you go. By the way, the 9 o'clock service got that wrong. A man went outside and it was pouring with rain and he didn't have an umbrella and not a single hair on his head got wet. How is this possible? He's bald. Okay. What happens if you throw a white hat into the Black Sea? It gets wet. Okay. How much dirt is there in a hole that is 3 feet deep, 6 feet long, and 4 feet wide? There's no dirt in a hole. Yeah. You see a truck driver going the wrong way down a one-way street. He passes at least 10 police but doesn't get stopped. Why? He's walking. Some months have 31 days. Others have 30 days. But how many have 28 days? All of them. And then the last one. How can a girl go 25 days without sleep? She sleeps at night. Thank you. There you go. Okay. Here's the thing. Testing, well, essentially weighing and discerning if a prophecy or a word of knowledge or a discernment is from God, sometimes that's easy. Sometimes it's really clear and it's obvious for us. Other times it's difficult. And I want to give you a few tools in that moment where you go, I'm not sure if this is from God or not, okay? First, in that moment, this is kind of what's happening in me, and I want to kind of give that to you. First, I would consider the source, right? Consider the character, the person that's bringing that, whatever that thing is. First, consider the source. Second, consider the content. And third, and key for me, is to ask the Holy Spirit for confirmation as you receive it. I expect that if something's from the Holy Spirit, that as I hear it, it'll be confirmed within me. That I'll hear it, and deep within me, I'll go, yes, that's from God. Okay. Now, if someone brings something and I'm not sure, I might just generally be nice to the person and say, ooh, I'll think about that. I'll pray about that. Right. But that's kind of what's going on within me, the things I'm thinking about in that moment. But let me, and I wasn't sure if I was going to share this. But it's interesting, and I think it's helpful in this way. A few years ago, a person shared a vision with me that was, you know, for me, right? And what they shared with me was negative and, in fact, really horrible. Right? Really interesting. I don't think I can say more, but in that moment, I was doing exactly what I'm saying here, okay? So consider the source. I was already kind of wary of the source, right? Consider the content. The content was a massive red flag as well. And ask the Holy Spirit for confirmation. In a sense of humility, I was just asking God, if this is from you, let me know. And I was given no confirmation. And so for me, I very much came from that going convinced that that was not from God. Now, I've got a real concern there because that could be incredibly destructive for someone that doesn't know how to weigh and sift what was happening in that moment. You see, our Father works all things for the good of those that love him. And so even, by the way, some people would say there's no such thing, that there should never be a negative revelation. I don't actually agree with that. I'll say more about that in a second. But if there is a negative revelation, I would expect to see something in it that's serving God's greater purpose. Which brings me to something that I want people to hear very clearly. With revelatory gifts, if you're going to share something negative, you make sure it's from God. Otherwise, you could be doing the devil's work in God's name, which is terrifying to me. So could God want you to share something that's negative? Again, some people would say no, and there's good basis. Even in our passages that we've just heard, therefore, the gift of prophecy is for building up and for encouraging and for strengthening the body, right? And yet, when you look across Scripture, there are certainly some places where there are things that are of God and that are shared in a revelatory way that are negative. And let me just share with you something that I think might illustrate just how powerful and significant this can be. This was from my days as a young Christian, there was a moment in which, now this wasn't a revelatory gift and that someone was sharing it to me with me, but it was just something that I felt like the Holy Spirit had made me aware of. It was one evening, I'm at work, and in the middle of nowhere, I just got the sense of dread and this sense of, and it just came to me that my grandmother was gonna die. Now that's a pretty negative thing, right? And in the middle of that moment, what came to me as well was a sense of peace. And shortly after that, we found out that my grandmother had cancer and that it was terminal and that she was going to die very soon. And that revelation transformed the experience for me. Because as a young Christian, all of a sudden I had a sense that God was in control, that he knew that this was going to happen before it was even happening, that I could trust him with it, right? It completely transformed it. So I don't want to say that a negative revelation should never happen, but I also very much expect that a negative revelation should be accompanied by a spirit-given sense of peace and direction. And again, I want to say it again. If you're going to share something negative, make sure it's from God. Otherwise, you could be doing the devil's work in God's name. So let me just give you real quick some practical notes on the revelatory gifts. Real quick, a few bits that I want you to hear. First, test everything against God's word. God won't contradict himself. We should guard against an attitude that puts experience above the word of God. Your experience should align with the word of God. A mentor and friend of mine once had a person tell him, God told me to leave my wife. No, God didn't say that, right? Secondly, pay attention to the Spirit of God. Again, ask the Spirit to confirm things for you. Third, weigh things with others, right? And hold things lightly. Fourth, act on things that God gives you. Fifth, don't be overly bold with declaring something is from God. There's a power in that, but that should be, we need to be careful about that with revelatory gifts. Sixth, learn to discern the difference between the Spirit of God and your own imagination. That takes time. And seventh, be humble in case you get it wrong, okay? Just some real practical things that I think are really important here. Again, let me bring us back to that 1 Thessalonians verse, the first half though, because this is very important for us. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. I think a lot of people, again, because of maybe misuse, haven't stepped into these gifts that are available and are significant for the body of Christ. And so I really want to encourage you this morning to essentially follow the Spirit however the Spirit wants to use you. Something that's part of this, I think, is a misunderstanding of the spiritual gifts. Gifts are from the Holy Spirit as the Spirit enables. And like when you hear something like the Joel passage, it's really obvious that it's the Spirit of God working. So in Joel, that's quoted in Acts 2, I will pour out my Spirit. You know, people will prophesy, will see visions, will dream dreams. It's clear there that the Spirit of God is the one doing these things. With the spiritual gifts, it's also clear in the way that it's written in Corinthians that it's the Spirit of God doing these things. The way we talk about them sometimes is as though it's a gift I have, so it's mine. Do you realize what's kind of wrong about that? Because if I think it's a gift I have, so it's mine, I might think I can do it in my own strength. And then it's powerless and kind of pointless. Now, very much, it's true that you might, like for example, Timothy was told to fan into flame the gift of God that was part of his calling. And so you might have a spiritual gift that you have for your whole life. That very much could happen. But also, your spiritual gifts might change, right? You know, Paul even says to them, like, desire things like, just by, you know, desire the gift of prophecy. That assumes you don't actually have the gift of prophecy yet, and you might get it. But also more than that, whatever your spiritual gifts are, even if it's a gift of serving or giving, or we should be doing all of the gifts by the Spirit's power. Let me illustrate this with something from myself. I feel like I've been, like I was called to preach at one time in Mexico. Like it was it's a whole story. I won't take you into it, but I shared it with the newcomers group a couple weeks back. And it was clear when I was preaching that God's power was at work, and we had 17 people pray to receive Christ. And it was this clear confirmation that I should be preaching. Several months later, I was part of a preaching class, and they had this thing that was terrifying, because what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to be recorded by a video camera, and you would be graded, and it would be watched back, okay? And I thought, well, do you know what? This is terrifying, but I've got a really good sermon for this. Can you see where this is going? Right? I've got a really good sermon for this. So I dusted off my sermon from Mexico, thinking it was great, and it fell flat. I mean, just painful. And I was learning very clearly from that, that to have a spiritual gift of teaching or preaching without the Holy Spirit doesn't make much of a difference. Right? We should be consistently, regardless, whatever our gifts are, we should be depending on the Holy Spirit so that they can be effective. And so here's the thing that I want to kind of lay out for you. A way of living for us as Christians, which is that we depend on the Holy Spirit such that the Holy Spirit may lead you to do one of the revelatory gifts. May lead you to places you are uncomfortable with, but you follow the Holy Spirit and you're willing to be used by the Holy Spirit. And I want to kind of close and bring this together with a quote from Sam Storms. And this is very much pulling into mind that actually, you know, in 1 Corinthians 12, you have the body and all the gifts of the body. 1 Corinthians 13, you have that beautiful chapter on love. 1 Corinthians 14, you have talking about prophecy and tongues. The fact that we have so much about love among the gifts is significant, because I think what we should be doing is being enabled and motivated by love, enabled by the Spirit, and then the Spirit will give you what you need when you need it. Let me check out this quote from Sam Storms. If the focus of your spiritual energy is consistently introspective, you will rarely see the abundance of hurting people that surround you. Open your eyes and look for those who are weeping. Ask the Spirit to guide your steps to those who are weak, afflicted, and destitute. And as you go, listen for the voice of God to grant you a prophetic word that will encourage and console the suffering. Take your hands out of your pockets and lay them on the sick, beseeching the Lord of mercy for healing. Instead of first asking, what is my gift, or who is in need? I'm increasingly persuaded that if God's people will look outward before they look inward, they will encounter the charismatic and empowering presence of the Spirit to equip them for every good deed. As I've said many times before, if you're still bewildered by what may or may not be your spiritual gift, act first, ask later. My prayer is that we would be a people that very much are following the Spirit of God into whatever the Spirit of God wants us to do. And if that might mean that you end up having a prophecy for someone else, fantastic. Or a word of knowledge, or being able to, whatever it would be. The point is that we love God and we follow His Spirit such that we can be used. And of course, there's a sense of wisdom and testing that needs to be in place throughout all of this, that we don't misuse God's name or misuse these gifts as well. Let's pray. Father, I pray, I first want to just pray for those that have been hurt in some way by a revelatory gift. I pray that you would remove that sense of hurt and failure, that sense of sinfulness or weakness or confusion that might have brought that or caused that. Father, I pray that you would bring healing. I pray that you would open our minds and hearts to everything that you want to do. And use us beyond our normal strength or confidence or means in such a way that it is clearly of you. In Jesus' name, amen.